Let's take out our Bibles. This morning we're going to read from the book right in the middle of the Bible, the book of Psalms, or this morning I'll also call it the book of Songs. There is in the middle of the Bible 150 divinely inspired songs, and we're going to read one of them this morning, Song 133. Very, very short, one of the shortest songs there is, only three verses long, but full of good stuff for us this morning. Now, before we read, a few things to mention to you. I wanted to show that video because I just am so taken by the teaching that this group, the Bible Project, puts out. So I love the video. I love the teaching. I love the reminder of who we are. This is amazing that we are the temple of God because of Jesus in the world. Like, that's just... that should hopefully blow some of our minds a little bit. I also want to show it because I was at the Bible Project Studios 2 weeks ago with some of our kids. We had a little tour there. And so I thought if I show the video, I can tell you. I was in Portland, Oregon, and I saw the Bible Project Studios and so thankful for their ministry. But I also want to show it because I think it's a good connection with our song this morning, Song 133. Because this song, scholars think, is one of the songs people were singing as they were going up to Jerusalem, up to the temple. So as we look at this song this morning, I'm hoping that some of us will have that vision in our minds. Now, obviously, we're in a transition this morning. David was talking about it already. We're moving from kind of summer slumber to what we might call fall fever. We're moving from vacation and rest, for some of us at least, to now we're back to the regular rhythms of work. School's out to school's back in. We're moving from at least a lot of sunshine in the summer, and now even this morning, the prospect of possible rain. Last week, Phyllis and I were attending the Westminster Bible Chapel on 6th Street in Burnaby, and the worship leader said that this transition from August to September, from the summer to the fall, is the biggest transition we go through in our culture. Even bigger than December into January, you know, as we move into the new year. And I thought that's probably true. Like all the things that have to kind of change again, all the things that get renewed again, all the patterns that start up again, it is a huge transition for many of us. So I'm thankful for the summer. I'm thankful especially for the last few weeks. I want to say thank you, Nelson Avenue, for sabbatical and vacation. Thank you. Who said that? I was hoping someone would say, you said you're welcome? I was hoping someone would say that. And I thought it might be Russ. Thank you, Russ. Thank you for doing that. Because I want to thank you. It's a gift to me and to our family to have that time. And I do not take it for granted. At least I try not to. This morning, we're kicking off our ministry year, and if you've had a look at the bulletin, you'll notice the bulletin's a little different than usual. Like, it's a little bigger, more colors in there, more colorful, and it's got lots of things that are going on both this fall season and into the new year, and I just want to encourage you to be aware of that. I'm going to come back to some of that later on in the message, but please do connect with the bulletin sometime after the service later on today, this week, and see those things that pertain to you that you need to be aware of as we begin the new year together. And something new I'm doing this morning, at least it's kind of new, I think some people did it the last few weeks, but I've put my sermon notes on the church's websites. So if you're able to access the website this morning, I think under recent news, there should be my sermon notes there, and if you want to follow along and if they're helpful for you, you're welcome to do that. And if you do that, then let me know how that is. If it's helpful, or if you're saying, well, I'd rather have some printed material, let me know. We're always trying, at least I'm trying to, you know, keep engaging. What helps people as they're listening on Sunday morning? So in a few moments, I'm just going to recite, so just a short song, recite Song 133 for us. Just a little background to this song and why we're looking at it this morning. About 2 months ago on a Saturday morning, early July, About 15, 20 church leaders got together, spent some time talking, singing, praying. At the end of the morning, we were all on our knees. I love that. Praying together on our knees. I thank you for the person who suggested that. But we were trying to discern God's will for us this year. And we certainly affirmed the vision and mission statement of our church community, which calls us to be lovers, right? Lovers of God, lovers of each other, loving God, loving others, and wanting so much justice to be done in the world. And we said we affirm all of that again, but especially under the theme of unity. So we want to be doing that, but really together as a church community. And then we landed on this passage from the Bible as our theme passage for the year. So I just want to, you know, recite it to you, and then I want to say some things about it. So this is Psalm or Song 133. It's a little bit NIV and Message kind of put together. It is a song of ascents, or we could call it a pilgrim song. So how good, how awesome it is when brothers and sisters get along. It's like precious anointing oil flowing down on the head and the beard. I wish I had a beard this morning. But it's like precious anointing oil flowing down the head, the beard, even onto Aaron's beard, onto the collar of his priestly robes. It's like the dew from Mount Hermon coming down and resting on Mount Zion, Jerusalem, because that's where God commands his blessing, even life forevermore. This is the word of the Lord. Now, this song is called a song of ascents, or a pilgrim song, as Eugene Peterson put it in the Message. It is a group of songs that scholars suggest people were singing or maybe chanting or probably singing out loud as they were making this pilgrimage once or twice, maybe three times a year to Jerusalem. So people are coming from Nazareth, north, way north of Jerusalem, and Bethsaida and Capernaum, and they're coming from Bethlehem, just south of Jerusalem. They're coming from the Negev, way south of Jerusalem, maybe beyond Israel. But they're all coming, and they start very, very far away. If you read Song 120 in the Bible, they're far, far away from Jerusalem. But as you keep reading through the songs, they're getting closer and closer, and here they're almost there, or I would say they are there. It's the second last song of ascent, and they have climbed Mount Zion. They've climbed to Jerusalem. Jerusalem's about 2,500 feet above sea level. So if you're coming from, let's say, the Dead Sea, that's a bit of a climb. And they've gotten up to the top of the mount. They're in the city. I think they're basically at the temple, in the temple courts. And they are singing about how great it is to be together. And I'm wondering this morning if you can see them or if you can hear them. If I try and imagine it, I can't bring a Jewish song to mind, but I can bring another song to mind that I remember singing when I was a kid. How good and pleasant is the sight. Anybody remember that one? When brethren or brothers and sisters make it their delight to dwell in blessed accord. That's Song 133. And these people are singing, I don't think they're singing that song, but they're singing probably a Jewish clapping song, a little bit more energy to it as they're getting inside the temple courts. And I imagine that they're with their families, with their friends, but they're also, there's Jacob that we met last year and his family, and there's Sarah and Rachel over there with their families, and we're back together. We're back together. Let's sing that song again. It's a little bit, I hope it's a little bit like us. You know, we've come from North Van this morning. We've come from Surrey. We've come from Coquitlam. We've come maybe just down from the road, and here we are together, and isn't it great when God's people gather together in unity? And that's how the song begins, just affirming the awesomeness and the greatness and the beauty and the wonder and the, can I just say, the wow of people, brothers and sisters together in unity. And we might wonder, well, what's so wow about people united? What's so great and beautiful about people getting together? Whether it's friends or married couples or families or working in a business, place of work or church community, what's so great about that? And maybe it's too obvious, right? But I can remember when I was a kid, there were moments when we were around the dinner table and I started hearing a conversation between my mom and my dad, and I thought, uh-oh, what's going on here? They don't seem so united. I've had the experience of wondering, what's going to happen here? Are my mom and dad fighting to such a degree that they're that this marriage is going to break up? Or this family's going to break up? So I know what it feels like, not just in the past, but sometimes also other situations I've been in where people are not united. But when they are united, again, a family, a marriage, friends, a workplace, a church community, when they are united, there's like energy. There's joy. We aren't worried about what's happening between us. We can just do the work or the celebration or the party or whatever we're doing with gusto because there's nothing between us that's hampering us from being together. We are working together, pulling together. There's life happening because we're so united together. And the words that the NIV uses to translate in verse 1 how this is, they talk about it's pleasant, which is a good word, but I did a little investigation. The word there in the Hebrew means something like singing, dancing, music, loveliness. So if you can picture people singing and dancing, and it's a picture you want to jump into, that's what this unity is supposed to be like. That's what this word is trying to communicate to us. Or the word, it is good and pleasant. This word good takes me back, as the video did, to that first chapter in the Bible where we keep hearing, it's the same word, but we keep hearing, God made this and it was good. And God made that and it was. And at the very end, God looked at everything he had made and it was very good. So when people are united, it's pleasant, they're singing and dancing. But it's also good, connecting with the goodness of God, but also the goodness of creation. It's reflecting the goodness of that opening story of the Bible. Now, we get, I think, some of us would say, we get some kind of odd images to talk about the unity. Like, I don't know what image you would use if you want to talk about, okay, when I'm united with someone or we're together, there's lots of harmony and peace. We're really... there's a lot of synergy together. What image would I use to describe that? The Bible uses kind of what I might call strange images, but very powerful images. So the first image in that verse 2 is, it's like precious anointing oil flowing down from the head to the beard onto the collar of the priestly robe. Does that sound kind of weird? Right? Like how is that like unity? And I'm going to suggest it's like unity because if you've ever been anointed, and especially with precious anointing oil in the Old Testament, which is oil, but it's very fragrant, if someone anoints you, you're going to feel it, right? And you're going to smell it. It's a very tangible experience. So I think the author's saying it's supposed to be like that. Unity between people is supposed to be kind of, is not kind of felt and experienced. You can almost grab it or touch it. It's coming down from above, right? The prophet is anointing the king or anointing the priest, but it's really God's anointing, and it's coming down from above on the person. And then it's not just kind of sitting here on top of someone's head, but the song says it's rippling down. It's coming down the face, coming down the beard, if you have a beard. It's coming down on the collar of your robes. And if there's enough oil, it's going to keep going down the robes of the priest, really covering the whole person. So this unity is meant to be an experience that starts somewhere, but really covers, keeps going, keeps rippling, which is a little bit like the second image, right? Again, a kind of strange image. Unity is like the dew from Mount Hermon landing on Mount Zion. And if I didn't look this up, I would have no idea what the author's talking about, right? Because where's Mount Hermon? What is Mount Hermon? Well, here's Mount Hermon. There should be a picture. There it is. So not the front, but the back. That's Mount Hermon. It's 9,000 feet above sea level. It's the highest place in the land of Israel. And at least a part of the year, it is snow-capped. So snow falls on Mount Hermon. Dew falls on Mount Hermon. It's in the northern parts in the Galilee. And because of all that snow and that dew, the area around Mount Hermon is very fertile, very full of life, very different than Jerusalem, which is a smaller mountain, semi-arid, not so lush. So the author's saying if when people get together, it's like the dew from Mount Hermon landing on Jerusalem, landing on Mount Zion, and all that dew, all that moisture creating life. Because when people are not getting along, and I don't care what kind of relationship it is, it feels like death. Right? It feels like you're in a desert. I don't even know what to say to you anymore. I don't even know how to connect with you anymore. I feel like I'm in the wilderness. But when unity is happening, there's like a spring in my step when I see you. I want to dance. I want to sing. Right? There's something happening in our hearts when I can touch the unity between us. And I think Jesus picks up some of this. At least I think he does, maybe not directly, but he says, he's praying in the New Testament, Gospel of John, chapter 17, he's praying to God, praying to the Father. Hopefully you can read that. But in verse 22, this is verse 23, but in verse 22, he's praying, he says, Father, I have given them the glory you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. Now, if you have a Christian concept of God, which says God is one being, but there's three persons in God who are perfectly united, perfectly, divinely united. When Jesus prays that they may be one, his disciples may be one, as God is one, we should again have our minds blown a little bit. Like, how could our unity be like the unity of God himself? But that's what Jesus is praying for. Right? And then he says, and this is the language, it's kind of strange, I in them, Jesus in us, the Father in Jesus, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved me even as you have loved me. Loved them even as you've loved me. So when I think about the oil falling down, I think about the dew falling down, kind of spreading out. I think also Jesus has this in mind, not just unity for the sake of the church, so we could have some warm fuzzies together, but unity for the sake of the church that would ripple out into the world, that the world would know that the Father has sent the Son. Right? Unity rippling out like oil and like dew into the community. It's never just for us. It's never just for us. It's always for the sake of the world. Now, these are, for me, powerful images. If we can just sort of, you know, just grab them a little bit, the oil, the dew, the words of Jesus. But we should be asking, as we should be asking more often of a pastor, a preacher on Sunday morning, what now? Right? What now? Like, what should we do now? Nice images, nice song, nice theme, maybe, but what do we do now? Tell us the what, tell us, give us the list of things. Give us the list of things. And I want to give us some things, but I want to point out that this song is not imperative, right? It's not command. It's not telling us what to do. It's rather indicative. It's a statement. It's a celebration of the gift that God gives his people. So the song doesn't tell us anything to do. It's just celebrating the unity. It's like oil. It's like dew. Sing with me when people get together to worship God or in the name of Jesus. That's what it's like. So this song is not telling us what to do. It's rather celebrating what God does through his gift of unity. This song, like other parts of the Bible, is telling us a basic orientation toward life. That life is not, first of all, what do I got to do? What do I got to do? But life lived best is, first of all, do I see the gift? Do I see the grace? Or do I see the gift and the grace of creation? Or the gift and the grace of God himself? Or the gift and the grace of people around us. And even for those of us who are members of this church community, do we see the gift and the grace of Nelson Avenue? With all the challenges we sometimes have of being a community together, can we see the gift? Can we see the grace? Can we see what God has done? Can we see who God has given to us? And if we can, if you can live your life by gift and grace rather than by the to-do list, a word to me, a word to me, if we can do that, that will change your life. That will change your mentality. That will change your hearts. And as we keep reading the story of the Bible, as the video does so well, our unity as a gift that God gives to us is always best experienced through Jesus Christ. That's where we find the deepest unity. So if we as individuals, but then also as we as a community, can find in Jesus, if we say he is the way, the truth, and the life, if we confess that together and believe that and live that, if we can find in Jesus our hope, like my hope is in Jesus, my joy is in Jesus, my life is in Jesus, my temple, the place I meet God, is in Jesus. If we all are doing that and rallying around Jesus with these kinds of confessions, if we're centered and circled around him, if we're all lining up behind him together as followers of him, then the unity goes really, really deep. So this song is not saying be united. It's really saying be who you are. Right, you are united as you worship God in the name of Jesus. Enjoy that unity. Celebrate that unity. Enter into that unity. Foster that unity. Become who you are. I found this quote from Johnny Erickson Tada. She says, believers are never told to become one. We already are one. And are expected to act like it. So be who we are in Jesus. Celebrate and foster and connect with the unity that God has given to us. And there are some ways to do that, I think. There are some ways to foster or celebrate or connect with God's unity that we have through Jesus Christ. One of them is just like this morning, like gathering for worship. Gathering to pray and to sing and to listen and respond to the word, hopefully, to give our monies, to confess our sins from time to time. The thing I'll just focus on this morning, which is always so powerful for me and also this morning, is just singing together. I always thought in the past, I'm just singing to God, and you know, he's listening, hopefully. But now I realize that's part of it. But we're also singing in some sense to each other. Like, I got to tell you, I need to hear people behind me singing. It just fills my soul when we're singing the same song, the same words about Jesus as Lion and the Lamb, and I hear other voices. It just does something in my heart and my soul. It connects me with people. I was like, well, yeah. We're in this together. I need to hear that on Sunday morning. So powerful. I'm hoping many of us will have a chance this year to experience unity, to foster, celebrate unity by joining some kind of small group, whether a group from Nelson Avenue, a group from another church community, a group that you initiate yourself, a group, even just 2-3 people getting together on a regular basis, but doing some of the rhythms of the Christian life. Because my mantra the last few years is, Sunday morning is not enough. Sunday morning is not enough for my soul, and I don't think it's enough for your soul. This cannot feed us. This time together cannot feed us for the next 6 or 7 days. We need some other Christian community happening. If you have that, I'm so thankful. If you're looking for that, please talk to me or Jen Jen or contact the church office. We'd love to get more people connected. I'm hoping today our community party will be a way of celebrating our unity. And I'm going to say this morning, the one way we're going to celebrate that is meet someone you know, reconnect with someone you haven't seen for the summer, you haven't seen them for a few weeks, but also connect with someone you don't know. What? How would connecting with someone I don't know create unity? Well, I'm going to suggest that person could very well be someone you're already united to through Jesus Christ. You don't know. And if they are, when you connect with that new person, you are the ripples of the unity. The oil is flowing. The dew is flowing. So connecting with some people we know, but also with new people, is a way of celebrating the unity we already have through Jesus, right? I'm not making it. I'm not connected with you. I'm not causing this unity. It's there because we're both following Jesus. I'm also hoping, and this is a big hope, but we're having, I'm almost scared about it, but we're having this human sexuality series starting next week Sunday. The print is small there. It's better in your bulletin. We're starting next week Sunday night, 5 Sunday evenings talking about human sexuality. I'm kind of scared about what could happen. Because, you know, in our culture, 2019 in Vancouver area, talking about human sexuality from what I would say a Christian biblical point of view could be explosive, divisive, could lead to misunderstanding, disagreement, arguments. But I'm praying, and I want to ask you to pray with us as well, that this would, God would be gracious to us. It would actually foster unity. As we meet and talk about human sexuality, we'd find, boy, we have some place of disagreement, but boy, God is bringing, he's just overshadowing us with grace. He's actually uniting us in this conversation. I'm hoping also that as we do ministry and mission outside the walls of the church, as people are working in different places in the Vancouver area or maybe around the world, that will also be a place where we can celebrate the unity we have. As we ask each other about our work or the things we do from, you know, Monday to Saturday when we sometimes don't see each other very much, for people who are working in different places, just saying, hey, I'm praying for you. I'm rooting for you to keep serving Jesus there. That could also be a place where our unity is being fostered. Now, this morning, I was wondering, how am I going to end this message? We're talking about unity. David was talking a little bit about unity. We're going to sing about unity in a few moments. How are we going to experience unity together? And I thought, well, maybe we'll just hold hands. But I've learned that some people, no, we're not holding hands, right? We're not holding hands. And I thought, how about a big group hug? You know, we have Dale, he could come up here, we could all just gather around him and just big group hug together. But I don't think that would be so good either. So this morning I've asked some of the church leaders, our elders and deacons and staff, we're just going to kind of make a bit of a circle around the church community. I'm going to lead in spoken prayer. Very, very simple, but just as a sign that the leaders of the church are praying together for us. I'm going to be praying, God, unite us. Cause this dew and this, I should say, this oil and this dew to happen to us, these images to happen to us. So church leaders, you can start gathering just on the outside of the church community, of the sanctuary there. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. We're going to sing a song about unity in a few moments. So we're going to pray together. And when we're done praying together, then the worship team will lead us in a song together. This is very simple, but I just wanted to have some experience, some expression of us praying for each other, and then in some kind of, you know, unifying way, the leaders of the church also around us, around you, around the church community, praying for us. And this morning as I pray, I'm going to be praying just for unity in general, but also for those of us who don't experience that in some way. In whatever relationship we're talking about, I don't feel connected to that person. I should be. You know, it's my spouse. It's my son or my daughter. It's my friend. It's my coworker. It's someone sitting right next to me. I'm going to be praying about those hard places as well. How can we be one but not be uniform? Everybody has to be exactly the same. I'm going to try and answer the question. That would be, I think, another sermon. But I want to say that even in the midst of diversity, there has to be a common something. But we can have different personalities, different people, different experiences, even someone's different views on things, but there has to be something that we hold on together. And this morning, I think I try to say it's Jesus. Like, we have to hold on to Jesus together. And then, not like everything just all of a sudden magically is better, but that's where the unity is found. There is one Lord. That's supposed to be good news for us. One Lord, one Master, one Teacher. And we're all called to align our lives individually, but also together around that one Lord. And we're going to be different, but we're following the same Jesus together. Good question, Marcos. More could and should be said about that, but that's my short answer this morning. But let me pray, and then we're going to sing together. So, Father in heaven, we thank you for Psalm 133. Thank you for this theme for us. And we just pray, Lord, I pray, and we're praying, maybe leaders are praying in their hearts or maybe just whispering out loud if they want to. Lord, where it's difficult, where it's not happening, where we don't find that unity, we have no experience of the oil or the dew. We have no experience of being in harmony with someone we need to be in harmony with, Lord. Break in. Break into our hearts, O Lord. And I pray, Lord, as difficult as it might be, may we not say, it's their fault. But Lord, start with my heart. Start with our hearts. Start with, Lord, the way that we look at one another, how we're responding or talking or acting. Lord, do a work, a renewing work, a transforming work here at Nelson Avenue. In our families, in our marriages, in our friendships, among co-workers, even, Lord, among our community. Or may there be a sense, Lord, of connection also with people outside the walls of this church community. So, Lord, hear us this morning. Respond to us. May we hear stories of people being reconnected to each other and finding the unity that this song talks about. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.